Okay, what is going on YouTube? Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee. This is Sam. And Sam, we've just witnessed... That is why, by the way, normally have a little 5 minute gap in the sort of like start in the sort of waiting room for people to come on. It was only 2 minutes tonight because I was really enjoying the Leicester versus Burnley game. I was getting wrapped up in the football that's going on. And with that James Justin goal that's just... I know, non-owner as well. With that James Justin goal that's gone in, Sam... 37 goals so far this game week with 8 games. That is an average of 4.6 goals per game and an average of absolutely naffle defending going on whatsoever this game week. It's been bonkers, isn't it? Enjoyable, but bonkers.
Where have all these goals suddenly come from? How is everyone scoring 4 or 5 goals? And why can't the defenders defend anymore?
We've had to, it's been thoroughly, thoroughly entertaining. As you know,
oh, it's great to watch.
If you're a football purist, you might say, I don't know. A lot of people I like to see good defending. I like to see good defensive performances as well.
Do
as
you?
Good attacking performances. But we ain't seeing any defending. I can tell you, it's been awful.
I quite like the just attack. It reminds me of the old chip that we used to have with them years ago.
All out attack. Well, guys, welcome to FPL Family. We have got literally, this could be a 3 hour stream. We've got loads to discuss. Of
we
course, there's
be.
A game still going on.
We won't be here
on.
3 hours time.
We won't
worry.
Be here 3 hours. We've got to try and get it into the usual hour, but I easily could do 3 hours. We've got so much to discuss. There is, of course, still a game going on. We're in, I think, the final 20 minutes of Leicester versus Burnley. So thank you guys for joining us. If you're here watching that maybe at the same time, let us know in the live chat if Vardy scores, if James Justin maybe gets a brace, or Castagna gets another assist. 2 assists for Castagna already tonight.
Nobody owns him.
Well, I think a few people got him. Not as many as James Justin
scored, and we both went, oh, God.
I honestly don't even know where to start tonight, guys. Of course, we're going to do the usual. We'll go through as many of the games as we can. And I think, to be honest with you, there is a case for going through pretty much every game this week.
Because we will be
something
hours,
from an FPL perspective happened in every single game. And of course, we'll be looking at our scores and our thoughts ahead of game week 3. What do we think about... We haven't seen Manchester City yet, of course. So in terms of our transfer plans for game week 3, I have some early thoughts. But those early thoughts involve getting some Manchester City players. Or a player in particular. And I haven't seen him play yet. So what do you do? I don't even know. So listen, I've got plenty of football still to go in this game week, guys. But we'll try and dissect as best we can the football that we've seen, because it's been absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. We're not even going to dawdle anymore on this. We've got to get straight into it and say hello to a few people. Let's see who is in tonight. So John Tyner is here. 3-2, he says. 3-2, here
Ooh.
We go. So
God, please don't tell me it was somebody who's got loads
no,
of...
No, it looks like it's done.
Oh, that's all right. That's
million,
okay. That's okay.
0.4 in FPL done. Can't even tell
Why
you what his first name is, to be honest.
Okay, I've got an issue with these 0.4 defenders. Why are the ones that I have not got scoring goals?
Well, listen, that's the 38th goal now. This is the scores in this game week are absolutely unreal. We've had 4-3, 5-2, we've now got 3-2. Absolutely ridiculous. Mark Dorney is here. Hey, Mark, how are we doing? Very nice to see you. Alex Young is in. Hey, Alex. FPL Flynn is here, as always. Flynn, very nice to see you. Luke Daniels is in. Hey, Luke, how are you? Nice to meet you, 09, says greetings. Nice to meet you. I like that.
Nice to meet you.
I hope that's your FPL team, though. Nice to meet you. I like that. L Pipe is here. He says, hey, FPL family. 188 points in total he's got. I love it. Triple Captain Son or something, probably. I don't know. Cracker Jack is in. How are you doing, Cracker Jack? A super chat. He says, I'm just here... that's not very nice. I'm just here to have a laugh at all of the Son sellers. What else does he say? Let's see. 81 points for the week. Son, Rodriguez and Mitchell. Well, listen, Crackerjack, we are obliged to read your comment out because it's a super chat, but I'm not going to comment or rise to anything that is in that comment. Hanno Dorfling, how are we doing, Hanno? Good evening.
Patreon.
Massive game week for me. Massive game week for Hanno. So well done, Hanno. I want to see your score. Get in the live chat. Let's hear it. Joe Tubbs is here. How are we doing, Joe? Very nice to see you. We've got Lawrence is in. Hey, Lawrence. AD Tor is in. How are we doing, AD? Martin Treaty Schwartz is here, as always, Martin.
Always.
Very nice to see you in every good flipping Sunday, isn't he? Yeah, every single Sunday.
Yeah, but you know why they've all turned up tonight, don't you?
Why?
Because they want to know how I feel about Gareth Bale.
Well, we're going to talk about that in just a second. Before you do, Sam, it will not shock you to hear there has been another goal in the Leicester game.
You're
it's
joking.
Now 4-2 and Pratt has scored for Leicester.
Pratt.
So
no one owns him, so that's okay.
That in the time we've done the hellos, we've gone from 37 to 39 goals. That sort of game.
Because that means anyone that owned Pope has just lost some points for four. Yeah, that's okay. This isn't hurting me too badly. It's James Justin.
Mark O'Leary is saying 39 goals. That's absolutely ridiculous.
And we've still got two games to come.
That is a Barnes assist, by the way.
Oh, that's not so great.
So Harvey Barnes racking up the points in that game. Looked pretty good from the time that I was watching the game, I have to tell you. We're going to get into the games, guys. We're going to talk. There's our Twitter on the left-hand side. If you're not following us, go follow us over there, etc. I ain't got time for any of that, Sam. We've got to get onto it.
No, we've got a super chat to deal with first.
Super chat, yes. Alfred, thank you for the super chat. Let's see. Two. He says, forget game week 3 because I fluffed my wild card for game week 2. Oh, man.
No. Oh, I won't have that because actually, if you did your game wild card properly, which I'm sure you have, then it'll be set for game week 3. So don't worry about game week 2. Put it to bed.
Do not panic. Another super chat from Duncan Crawford. Thank you, Duncan. He says, hey, guys.
Patron.
Captain Aubameyang again. Why is he letting us down? Well, listen, is he letting us down?
Yeah.
Two returns in two for Aubameyang. Of course, we expected more, but we're getting returns.
I wish he hadn't played now. My advice was on Kane.
Was it?
Oh, ouch.
Well, listen, let's get to the games in just a second. Useless. But Gareth Bale, what are we saying? Go on.
It's like, on. I mean, my life.
Christmas has all come at once.
My life is made now. Life made. 2020, best year ever.
What sort of impact is he going to have on that side?
The best one ever. No, genuinely, I'm not being sarky.
Where's he going to play first? So instead of Moore, right, probably.
Yeah, up with Son and Kane. Okay. I mean, Son, Kane, Bale.
Yeah, he's absolutely got potential. I guess he's got, two or three weeks until he's fit, something like that?
Yeah, after the international break, they've said he'll be able to play.
In a couple of weeks?
I can't wait to see. I actually cried yesterday.
You did actually cry when you saw the announcement video, which was bonkers, guys, to be honest with you.
Actually, I've got welled up again now, thinking about it.
Control yourself.
Honestly, it's made my life. I don't know how they're going to price him. I think the way FPL is this year, they'll put him in the same price bracket as Son. Because that makes sense.
Right. I think you're probably right. He's going to come in at about 9.95 because of his pedigree. I have to say, I think it's a shrewd move by Spurs because right now, Spurs need a bit of a lift. And I think you saw it. And by the way, I'm going to talk tactically about Saints and their approach to that second half today and when we get to that game because it was absolutely awful the way that Saints approached that game. But don't take anything away from Spurs. Four goals in 26 minutes by Son is not to be sniffed at. And if you've got him, fair play. If you've captained him for whatever reason, then goodness me, well played.
What if you transferred him out?
Interestingly, that is a super chat that's just come in from Daniel Henkel saying he took Son out for Bruno and he's facepalmed. You're not the only one, Daniel. You are not the only one. There is other people in this room that did that very transfer.
Hands up.
And there will be a lot of people in the live chat and in the comments that did that exact move, Daniel. So you are not alone, sir. You are not alone. But what I will say about Gareth Bale coming in is I think he's going to give the whole club a lift at a time when, frankly, a lift was needed.
Absolutely. I think even if he's come in and couldn't play till Christmas, I think the very fact that Gareth Bale walked back into Spurs and said, this is where I want to be, it doesn't really matter if it was the only place that he could go. That's irrelevant. The boost that gives the players, the boost that has given the fans, on the back of what was a terrible performance last weekend, which was a pretty awful, nearly dreadful performance on Thursday evening in the Europa League.
Yeah.
To then have that announcement yesterday, going into today's game, it made me and all of the Spurs fans that I've been talking to feel a hell of a lot more perky ahead of that Southampton game. And I went into that Southampton game feeling a lot better about just being a Spurs fan generally.
I want to start with that. We've got to start with Southampton 2, Spurs 5, because what an unbelievable game. What an unbelievable game. And I know exactly what you're saying. And, you know, coming into that game, there was a lot of, you know, Spurs had a good week because you got through in Europe by hook or by crook. You got through in Europe. Obviously, the Gareth Bale news. You've obviously signed Reguilón's work, who looks like he's going to be a very attack-minded fullback. Maybe an FPL. But let's not beat around the bush. First 45 against Saints was not that good.
No, and
it's not that good.
I think, you know, obviously towards the end of that game, I think it was a weird first half, wasn't it? Let's be clear. Like, the beginning of that game was weird. To have a couple of goals disallowed for us, one disallowed for them.
Yeah.
It just never really got going. Everybody was like offside, and there was just
I thought Spurs started really well in the first 5 minutes, and then the Kane disallowed VAR goal.
All rightly disallowed.
yeah, it's marginal, but I guess
they were offside,
yeah, okay, it was
so
offside.
Fair enough.
But that seemed to deflate Spurs a little bit, I thought. And it wasn't until Son popped up right on the stroke of half time that the mood changed again.
I feel like Spurs thought, in my mind, it was almost like they went out there, they got that early goal, they celebrated it, and I thought we were going to kick on from that. And then it was disallowed, and they were like, oh. And then they did kick on again and got another one disallowed, and then it was like, oh. And then I think when the Southampton goal went in, you could just see their heads went. And it was like, this can't happen again.
Yeah.
And you could see them all kind of strolling around, particularly that kind of middle bracket of the pitch and moving into the defence. It wasn't Son and Kane. Moura was very peripheral, I felt. But Son and Kane played well the whole match. They were in the right places doing the right things, but it just wasn't quite ticking in the middle.
Do you think they were in the first half?
Yeah, I do.
I do.
I think
if you
watched Son and Kane, they were in the right places doing the right things,
okay,
but the movement wasn't there to get to them to finish the balls off. So they would occasionally get through, and that's when we had the two disallowed goals. But I think it just wasn't sticking in the middle. There was that whole like Højbjerg back at Southampton thing, KWP paying Spurs thing. It was all just a little bit messy. And Southampton, to their credit in the first half, controlled the middle of the pitch well. And at that point, it didn't matter that they were playing a high line because they were controlling what was happening in the middle, which meant we weren't getting the balls through to Kane and Son. What we then saw is that Ndombele made that lovely little flick off just at the end of the half.
He did fantastically well. I thought I thought he had a good first half, actually, and he just capped it. He crowned it with that. He won it, pirouette, and then played it out to Kane perfectly.
Yeah.
I didn't think Kane's ball across was that good, actually, but Son's finish was just delicious.
But I think, for me, and I know you were like, what is he taking him off for? And I said to you, but there's a reason for it, and he seems
something.
I couldn't
believe he dragged him off, honestly.
And it's not necessarily, it won't have necessarily been because Ndombele was the worst, because he definitely wasn't the worst in the middle of that park. But putting on Lo Celso was a stroke of genius for Mourinho, because he ran it then, and we were so much better in that second half with Lo Celso playing so close to Kane. He recognised, and you heard from Mourinho after the game, say, I asked Kane to step back because Son is quicker, and the way they were playing the high line, it meant that Kane was always in the at every single ball to Son. You just thought he was going to score, and I was
that
sitting
was
there thinking, why the hell have I transferred you out?
That was the change for me tactically that Mourinho got spot on. And by the way, all right, he spotted it and he made the change, but I spotted it sitting in the front room. I'm pretty sure half the world spotted it. Saints high line, and we said this time last week when they lost to Crystal Palace, and Zaha got constantly in behind, and Eze, when he came in, got constantly in behind. Saints high line, you can only play that high line if you have the recovery pace to get back, and they don't.
No.
Because Vestergaard is too slow.
And I think last week...
And Stevens is too slow.
No, I agree, but I think last week they didn't realise that. I think, you know, in pre-season they've had that because they're playing against lesser opposition. So they have been able to play the high line and get back. It's not been so much of an issue. And of course, in pre-season, you're there to get your legs in and the minutes and all of that. So it doesn't so much matter if you concede one or two. And then in the game last weekend, they were beaten by a good Palace performance, but they weren't embarrassed. And then I think what's happened this week since that is that they've been embarrassed in the League Cup, and then they've been embarrassed again in the second half today.
It's a tough start to the season for Saints, isn't it?
It's
a very tough start. And it's in a season where I think a lot of us, actually, were expecting them to improve.
Well, I've got three.
The thing that really got me, I don't think that Kane could believe his luck.
No.
Because as soon as Kane stepped off and sort of a bit deeper... and then Son was the main man going in behind, and Son's running. Well, you know what you're going to get with Son's running. He's very, very good at that, and he's quick.
Yes.
So every time Kane picked the ball up, he picked out Son. I don't think he could believe that Son was in those sorts of positions every time.
Yeah.
Hasenhüttl must be doing his nut.
But I think I said to you, and I said to the guys on the Slack when I was talking to them, this exact thing happened last year. It happened against Leicester last year when they lost 9-0, 9-1 or whatever it was. I can't even remember.
But they didn't concede four of the same goal in 26 minutes. That was the thing for me. It was almost carbon copy goals a lot of the time.
But in a way, that's better from a Southampton point of view because it's one problem to fix.
Wow.
Last year, that 9-0...
They need to get Salisu fit and firing because he's a little bit quicker.
They need to deal with their defensive problems. Now, I fully expect that will happen this week. They are out of the League Cup, which in a way might benefit them. it might benefit them because now they haven't got
a
player.
I think that was a good shout for them to get a trophy. Honestly.
I don't think so. I think look at how they've
performed. Saints for the Carabao Cup.
Look at how they've performed the last three games. It is a blessing for Hasselhüttl now that they are out of that cup because now they've got a week to prepare for what they're going to do in their next game. They have to be better. They have to be
solid. You've got three Saints in your team, including Che Adams, I'd like to get your opinion on.
Yeah.
The Southampton fixtures look like this. Burnley away next, then West Brom at home, Chelsea away, in-form Everton go to St Mary's, and then away at Aston Villa. So, although on the Fantasy Football Scout ticker they are sort of towards the top, I would argue that actually Burnley away, Chelsea away, Everton, three of the next four, West Brom at home aside in game week four, that's a tough-looking run for Saints.
It is, but then equally, we've just said there's been 39 goals so far in eight games this weekend. Nobody, yeah, with the exception of Liverpool, you've got to pay a lot more money to own Liverpool defenders, and Brighton, but the other teams that kept clean sheets.
I can't think of anyone else that kept
a clean sheet. So I've already got Ryan, but we're not. So my point is that we're not talking about lots of clubs keeping clean sheets. So if I owned McCarthy and who else do I own? KWP and everyone else was keeping a clean sheet, then I'd think, right, these are problems I have to deal with. But equally, I'm looking at the fixtures for next week and thinking, there's goals in those games
again. So Che Adams, I mean, was he unlucky today or is he just a bad finisher?
I don't know.
Because that's a couple of game weeks now where you think,
I don't know.
Been in the right positions, he's got chances and he's just not finished them.
Yeah, the honest answer is I don't know. Yeah. Because last week I thought he was just unlucky. I thought there was a couple of chances last week that he could have taken, and it's why I didn't do anything about him last week. And then this week I watched the game again and thought, well, there was a couple of chances that you really should have done better on.
First half today he should have done better on, I think, a couple of
games. He should have, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think he should have in the last couple of games. So I'm in a bit of a quandary with him because obviously there's players in his position at his price point. I'm thinking obviously of Mitrovic, Bamford, who are performing better than him. Now, actually, I think you could argue, and I would argue, that Mitrovic didn't look better than Che Adams. I felt on the pitch, Che Adams looked better, but Mitrovic has the penalties in his locker. And the way
a penalty and a header is like, that is textbook Mitrovic.
Yeah, and I felt watching, and we'll talk about that game in a minute, so I don't want to talk about it too much now, but I felt like Mitrovic, you're kind of waiting on him getting a penalty or sticking a header in. There's not a lot of creativity, there's not a lot of open chances for him. There is for Bamford, who I thought was really impressive, but for Che Adams, the chances are there, he's just not taking them. So it's how long do you stick with him? Now, my issue is, my plan was to downgrade Kane this weekend. Yeah. And then that would have given me the money to have two nice strikers up top.
The Spurs fixtures going forward, Newcastle at home, then a trip to Old Trafford, which actually looks intriguing given what happened at Old Trafford this weekend. West Ham at home, Burnley away, Brighton at home. So three of the next five at home for Spurs, including Newcastle that have been Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, bad today, frankly. West Ham are a bit all over the place. And Brighton, which, yeah, potentially quite difficult, although that's game week seven. You're probably keeping Kane ahead of those, aren't you? Certainly Newcastle at home.
Yeah, I mean, Newcastle at home and then Manchester United at home. United away. Yep. So Newcastle at home, I'm going to keep him because we're not sure what's happening with Maximan, and Newcastle look really, we'll talk about them in a minute, but they looked out of character today as well. So there's definitely goals there for Spurs. Manchester United, well, let's see what happens there because who knows. But then after that Man United game, Bale should be there as well, and I want to be part of that Bale-Kane-Sun lineup. Like, I'm in my, so in my head, I'm now thinking, well, my exit strategy was Kane, and I now don't have one because I can't. How can you take someone out with four assists and a goal?
I think what today, just to finish up on Spurs, I think what today has proved is that if you're playing a team that want to sit back and deep against you, you've got players that can create, and Kane will always score goals, and you've got Højbjerg there to let Kane go and do that. But not many teams, I don't think, are going to do that now, because I think they look at Spurs now.
They know.
Sorry to say, but I think they look at Spurs and go, we can beat these. And what Saints did was they went, all right, we can beat these, and we'll play our high lines. Mm. We're hoping that we think that they're going to play throughout the season. Certainly, Hasenhüttl seems to favour that.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do that against Spurs, expect to have very intelligent runners. Now, Son and Bale, both rapid, but both intelligent and experienced runners. These are not young players, right? These are players that have been in behind all the time.
Quality.
As a Kane owner, that would be my only slight concern, is that he's going to drop deep and probably benefit more the two either side of him. But if he's going to get assists like he did today, it's not to be sniffed
but
at.
But the other thing is that with the amount of penalties that we've seen being given for stupid handballs in the box, Kane's the penalty taker.
Yeah,
I'm watching today's game, like Doherty, it's bounced up and hit his arm. Lindelof yesterday bounced up and hit his arm.
We could do a whole podcast about penalties.
Who was the other one this weekend? Bounced up and hit the arm and they gave away a penalty.
I don't know.
There was like three or four of them.
Gabriel, wasn't it, for Arsenal? Hit his shirt sleeve, yeah.
And you're... So in my head, I'm thinking...
And then you've got Thiago, who sort of just breathed on Werner and he went over.
There's penalties everywhere.
It is penalties galore this season. It's ridiculous.
And as a result of that, why would I want to be off the penalty taker at Spurs?
Yeah, because you need the penalty for the money... The money for the penalty taker at Man City.
No, I got that because I'm taking a Bally hang out.
Right, okay. Very good. More on that later on.
So do we know for definite who the penalty taker at Man City is?
I think we're KDB, aren't we?
Do we know that? Do we trust Pep? Pep could give it to
Westbrook. I don't even know anymore this season.
Blimmin' Edison will take it.
It's game week 2 and my mind's all frazzled. There we go. Saints 2, Spurs 5 in what was a ridiculous game.
Sorry, before we move on, we should actually just give a mention of Dele Alli, who we've just missed, because a lot of people will still own Dele Alli.
So glad I took him out. What is going on? Is he off?
Well, apparently he's going to PSG.
Linked with Paris, wasn't he, this evening? Yeah. That is, by the way, you're going to hate me for this. That is the perfect move for Dele Alli. That'd be great for his Instagram following, wouldn't it? Have a year in Paris, living it up, sitting on the bench.
So Mourinho said today, we've got too many players. And in some ways... I can see what he's saying, but then we've just signed Gareth Bale. We've got Bergwijn, Moura, Son, Kane. Well, let's leave Kane out because he's playing up top on his own because there's no one else. So Bergwijn, Moura, Lamella, Lo Celso, Dele, whoever I said, Bale. who else haven't I said? There's loads of them.
There's
but
loads.
We've always said this. There's too many players in that position.
Troy Parrott.
So in many ways, what Mourinho said is right. We do have too many players. But this is Dele Alli. And as you said, Dele Alli is the sort of arrogant sort of character who comes on and changes matches. And at one point in that first half, before we scored just at the end, I was thinking this is perfect Dele Alli moment because we're not really getting any traction. So if Dele, he'd come on, he'd sort of do some fancy skills and probably get in the game. I don't get it. Something more than we know has gone off.
I think it's that it's...
I don't believe that he just thinks he's lazy. I don't believe that.
I think there is a bit of that because I think that Mourinho wants to play, whether you can or not with the players you've got, but he wants to play a very high energy, high pressing game and he wants to pin in the opposition, hence the fullbacks flying forward, right?
The basics
that you need, and I hate to compare Spurs to us, but I will compare you to us because we do it brilliantly and we have done for a long time. The front three all have to work in unison. The attackers have to be defenders first and foremost, which is press, 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 press. But the key is they all have to press. Because if you think of our front three and Salah running around pressing the defenders like a nutter, but Mane and Firmino weren't doing it, or even just Firmino wasn't doing it, it's so easy if Salah goes to press... then the centre half just passes it sideways and away he goes. So they all have to press. And the thing that with Dele Alli was that Kane was running around like a nutter. And you had Son running. You can't ever complain about Son's work rate. He's one of the hardest working in the league. And you've got Bale coming in there who...
Will.
Let's see whether he's got the work rate. I'd like to think that he does.
I think he does.
But if one of those three or four aren't pressing, and if that's Dele Alli... Moura does press. Bergwijn does press. But if Dele doesn't press... The whole thing goes to pot. If Mourinho wants to make an example of him, that's what he's going to do. He does it all the time, Mourinho.
It is, and all of that is right. Everything you've just said is right. But I genuinely believe that there is more to this than that. Because he said Dele's lazy before.
And they
worked on it and things improved and he played brilliantly under Mourinho for quite a long time. Something has gone on behind the scenes for this to be the case. Something went on before game week one. Honestly, must have done.
All right. Well, listen,
so if you still own Dele Alli, just take him out.
All right. Well, listen, I did this week and I'm very pleased that I did.
You've got
J-Rod,
right?
And I got James Rodriguez in, which I'll talk about in a second. But just to pick up on a couple of the live chats, let's see. There's a couple here. James Stevenson. Lingardinho going to Spurs.
No, no, I don't want Lingard. And no.
Iron Man saying the front four of Bale, Son, Kane and Lingard sounds absolutely amazing.
God's sake, where's this Lingard thing come from? I don't want Lingard.
Good to see Spurs investing in youth, though.
Shut up, Lingard!
We're moving on from Spurs and we're moving to another game that was 5-2. That's Everton 5, West Brom 2. Now, again, thoughts
it
on
was
this
tremendous.
Game. Thoughts on this game, and here's my thoughts. I thought West Brom were pretty good. I thought West Brom were pretty good up until the point Kieran Gibbs gets sent off. And even after that, they came out in the second half and Pereira scores a fantastic free kick.
It went wrong, though, didn't it? It was going well. They played, they scored, they took the lead, they looked comfortable.
I didn't say they looked comfortable, but they did play well.
And then it all went wrong. The player got sent off, and I said to you at the time, there is no excuse for that behaviour. He's not a child. Like, he's not 18. He's not 19. No, he's not. I'm sorry.
Kieran Gibbs, he's you are not
idiot.
A child.
Kieran Gibbs, if you are watching, you are an idiot. You should know better. No, genuinely, who does that?
It was a silly one.
The kids that come up and lose their head in games do that. He is a grown-up and has been in the Premier League played in football for a long time.
Why are you telling him off so much?
Because he's naughty. Honestly, I'm not having it. Kieran Gibbs is solely responsible for that result. If Kieran Gibbs stayed on the pitch, would that result have happened? Absolutely not. Would the manager have been sent off? Absolutely not.
So just let me talk for a bit while you calm down. Deanne Garner scored an absolute beauty.
Well,
really, really nice goal. And then Pereira scored a really nice goal as well. And then the Kieran Gibbs thing happened. In terms of West Brom, their fixtures, actually, if you look at the ticker on Fantasy Football Scout, if you're a member over there, you can look at the fixture ticker and sort the fixtures by difficulty rating. Really nice feature, and you can do it according to attack or defence, and you can set your own sort of game difficulty ratings and stuff. Really, really cool little tool on the side panel there of Fantasy Football Scout. I use it all the time. If you're a member, head over, check it out. West Brom second, actually, on that ticker right now. Chelsea at home, Southampton away, Burnley at home, Brighton away, and then Fulham away. Despite them being second on that ticker, I'm not really seeing enough of West Brom to suggest that I really want to go in. Would you consider going in on Pereira at 6 million? Or
yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And did you see Livermore hit the post?
I did see Livermore hit the post.
Just
and I literally bricked it. And I had all of the patrons in Slack going, almost an apology.
I don't know
from
why I got so upset about this West Ham game. But genuinely, I think West Ham, I don't think that West Ham, I know that from that result. So if we hadn't have watched this game, I'd look at that result and go, whipping boys of the Premier League. Genuinely, I didn't feel like that watching it. I didn't feel like that. West Brom played well for a large percentage of the game. Then Kieran Gibbs did stupid things. As a consequence of his stupid things, the manager, did he do stupid things? I don't think he did, genuinely. But anyway, the manager gets sent off and it goes downhill after that. But Pereira,
it was silly, wasn't it?
Was quality.
It was silly. But anyway, let's move to...
It's worth it, I think.
I think so. AD Tor is in. He's saying, from tears to anger, Sam is on fire tonight. People are saying, Sam, all the roller coaster of emotions being in here tonight with Sam. at the risk of fueling that fire, I want to talk about a player that actually...
If you're going to mention Richarlison...
I think you owe an apology to Richarlison.
No.
This time last week, you completely wrote him off as an FPL asset. And
still
he had a worldie, I thought, at the weekend. He was fantastic.
I won't apologise to him. He deserved every word of it.
What's wrong with you tonight? Why are you on one? What is poor Richarlison and Kieran Gibbs sitting there going...
Kieran Gibbs deserves it! What, he's cost his... It's cost his team a match.
Will you...
Richarlison...
You've got to be considering now Everton assets.
Yes,
after that
but not Richarlison.
Not Richarlison.
No.
Why are you so anti-Richarlison?
Because Richarlison is one of those players. He's capable of having a performance like he did this week.
Yeah.
Like, there's no... Look, I'm not for a second saying that Richarlison didn't have a good performance this weekend.
No, because he didn't. He was amazing.
He did play well this weekend, but last weekend he didn't, and he was wasteful.
He was getting in the right positions. No. So you've got to look at the underlying stats, Sam.
Oh,
this is FPL. We're talking stats.
It's not about that. It's about the fact that
he's XG.
Shut up about the XG. I think he's one of those players, for me, that I find infuriating because he can go weeks
because
and weeks.
Because he gets free assists.
But then, what if he probably next week he'll get nothing? And he's one of those players that he's like, wow. He's like a roller coaster, but you spend a lot of time in the blimmin' pit before you actually get something from him. Now, I think that Everton, to be positive, are absolutely 100% worth investing in. But But I think you're better off saving a bit of money and having Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who I think is fantastic.
So go on then. So if you were playing your wild card this week, which is a question we are going to get to a bit later on, because you over the weekend, Sam from FPL Family, have intimated to me that the button might get pushed. I'm going to press you on that a bit later on. But if you were wild carding this week, or even if you're not, I think it's worth investing in Everton. Who would be your go-to?
Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
It would be Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Why?
I just think that he's in all the right places. He's cheaper than Richarlison. He's less spiky than Richarlison. I feel like he's a bit more consistent in his performances.
Yeah.
It's the same thing you see from him every single week. And when we were talking before about Spurs and that kind of constant pressure and push, and you see that with Dominic Calvert-Lewin, whereas Richarlison can be a bit sulky. I feel like
Tips has just super chatted. Thank you, Harry.
It could be quiet, Tips, because it'll be some Richarlison love and I'm not interested in it.
He just said Richarlison, winky smiley, I know you love
Tips.
It.
Tips. Off you go.
He can't even moderate him. Harry, you've got to stay.
Harry, stay, please, if you're moderating. But
I'm gonna give an opinion now. You've got to listen to my opinion now, rather than getting all ranty about Everton. I thought Richarlison was fantastic. Richarlison was fantastic. I thought he was fantastic against Spurs as well. I'm not, because I've got enough Everton cover, I think, in James Rodriguez. And again, I don't want to lord too much over Liverpool's bitter rivals, let's face it. But listen, I thought they were class at the weekend. I know it's West Brom at home, I get it. And they've got to go to Crystal Palace next weekend. That is a far more difficult fixture. But after that, it's Brighton at home. Then it's the Merseyside derby, which is shaping up to be a really nice fixture. Southampton away, then Newcastle away. Very, very happy, guys, with my transfer this week. Dele Alli out to James Rodriguez. I thought James Rodriguez really run the show in the middle of the park there. A real touch of class in that middle of the Everton park, which I think they needed.
Question for you then, because I think a lot of people will be looking to Everton now if they don't already own somebody.
Of course.
Like I am. But for me, watching them, and I'm interested to see your views as a Rodriguez owner, I feel like Rodriguez has the potential to be played out the game, because he's a very pretty player. And against teams like Liverpool, those sorts of clubs, I feel like they can manage them. Whereas Dominic Calvert-Lewin, for me, feels like the sort of player that can just nick a goal. If you had the choice, if it wasn't a Dele Alli issue that you were solving, and you had a straight choice, who would you have gone for?
I might have gone for Richarlison. I genuinely think all three of them are fantastic assets. And I think if I was going to look to double up, I think I would go James where I am, and probably Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah,
just because of the value. And to be honest with you, I'd probably be on Dominic Calvert-Lewin already, were it not for the fact that my front two I'm reasonably happy with. So I've got Jimenez, who's obviously good last week and hasn't played yet this week, and then his fixtures are amazing from game week three. So even if there's a blank against City, I don't think I'm going to sell him for Calvert-Lewin. And then Werner's got West Brom at home next, and he's legit looking like one of the best captaincy options for next week. Certainly in my team, outside of maybe Salah against Arsenal, but Werner against West Brom looks okay. And then I've got obviously Keane and Davis as my third choice. So I've got to find the thick end of 3 million to get up there.
Yeah.
Which means I've got to take some money out of either Trent, don't really want to do that, or I've got to take it out of my midfield, which is Salah and right now Aubameyang, who's probably going to become a Man City, or James, and I don't want to take it out of James. So at the minute, I feel like my Werner and Jimenez front two are fine, and I don't really want to change them ahead of game week three. Now, if it gets to a point where I need the money and I'm looking for value, then does Dominic Calvert-Lewin give you, say the same as Werner for 2 million less or 2.5 million less? That's then worth thinking about, isn't it? Because then if you can spend that 2.5 million better in midfield or in defence or somewhere else, then yes, that's worthy of consideration. But I ain't taking Werner out ahead of West Brom.
No, but I think a lot of people will be thinking about wild cards because it's coming up to game week three, and it's that sort of time when people start to go, is my team working?
There's a lot of wild cards out there, I think.
Yeah, and as a result of there being a lot of wild cards or people thinking about wild carding, then there's decisions to be made about Everton. All of those decisions for me involve getting an Everton player. It's just, how do you invest? Do you go for the midfield option, or do you go up top with Dominic Calvert-Lewin? I think either way, for me, Richarlison's a no, not because I don't don't rate him, but simply because of the expense thing over Dominic Calvert-Lewin. But then, of course, there's the defence as well, because Digne looked good as well again.
Well, as Azzy is saying, yeah, Rodriguez and Digne link up with Saucy. Now, yeah. Digne owners, do not panic, I think would be the message. Not panic, because I can tell you as a non-Digne owner, that game was incredibly uncomfortable to watch. Yeah. He bombed forward, he hit the bar from a free kick.
As a non-Everton owner, the whole game was
I was very pleased to be watching that game with Hammers, thinking, well, something's got to come off for this guy at some stage, and he did net really nicely. But Digne owners, I would not panic, honestly. He's not a sell for me right now. He is a hold. And despite the blank, he might even be a buy. He might even be a buy. The way that he attacked in that game.
It's just the price bracket, isn't it, with Digne?
It's just the 6 million.
If you don't own
him
already, it's kind of tough. But then if you own Doherty, it's an easy switch.
It probably is. I mean, ahead of Palace away, though, I'm probably not going to invest in Digne. But if I wasn't, again, you're talking wild cards. If I was wild carding right now,
yeah,
I think I would have Lucas Digne.
Yeah.
Would you?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's that price point. Just gives you that little pause for thought.
It's the price point, but it's also Pickford that puts me off. Because Pickford just has an opportunity every week to just, he's like Kepa.
Well, there we go, Sam. That is a nice segue from Guff Keeper to another Guff Keeper. Mr. £71 million two seasons ago, Chelsea activated his release clause, gave him a 7-year contract, and here they are talking about putting him in the bin. Kepa, another game, another mistake. But don't take anything away from Liverpool, I think, in this game. Professional performance, controlled it throughout. I thought had the authority throughout the game. As a Chelsea, as a Werner owner, as a James owner, though, I'm happy as a James owner, I think. Because that's now two starts Frank has given to James. That, to me, suggests that he's happy to go with James in that position.
Yes.
And Werner looks all right. Now, I don't know how much we can take from today's game.
No.
That's the challenge. Because unusually for Frank, I think Lampard set, you could see what his tactic was. It was, all right, Liverpool, you have the ball. And if you can break us down, do your best. And what we're going to do, and by the way, I thought Kovacic was great today, up until the point it got sending off, and obviously the game changed then. But Kovacic was perfect for that game, because he just gets in, him and Kante, just breaking stuff up and being annoying, you know. And I was getting annoyed throughout that first half, because the tactic at Chelsea was working, wasn't it? It was
soak it up.
And we'll break on the counter-attack, and we'll use Werner's pace. And they almost did get in a couple of times. And Havertz looked okay, but again, the way that Frank Lampard set them up was not conducive to either Havertz or Werner scoring a ton of FPL points.
No.
And even when Liverpool, you know, the red card changed the game, right? And it was a red card.
Love Christensen at the best of times.
Well, yeah, goodness me. It was a stonewall red. And I put a tweet out there at the time that suggests, I mean, I probably shouldn't have said it, but part of me thought that the ref gave the yellow so that he could go look at the screen and then give the red, knowing all day long that it's a clear as day red.
No.
But I wonder whether it's a bit like, I'll look good and use the screen.
Stop it. Don't be stupid.
Listen, these refs, Sam. I'm telling you.
Look
what Mike Dean was like with Bilic.
Oh, be quiet. The ref's not gone. In that split a second, the ref's not gone. Oh, I can get a moment of glory going to the screen.
I am telling you.
No, you, honestly.
What was the rhetoric? Listen. What was the rhetoric after that happened? VAR worked. Oh, great, they've gone to use the screen. No. Oh, it's worked correctly. Oh, they've got the right decision.
Right. I said to you today,
the refs are looking. It's a big pantomime with the refs.
Shush. Oh my God, what's that with you tonight? I think I said to you before, obviously, because I just watched it with one of my players getting sent off by VAR.
Lee is spot on. He did it for the camera.
Oh, shush. No, he doesn't. The refs, they're not that clever. They don't have that much time to think about it. If the ref is unsure, and I don't know, I didn't see the angle that the referee saw it at. But for me, if the ref isn't sure, he gives a yellow card. The VAR, it's failed on a lot of things so far, mostly the handball nonsense, but it has worked perfectly on the red cards. Because what it has done is it said to the ref, are you sure? Go and double check yourself. And then the ref goes and has a look. Now, basically, that's perfect, isn't it? Because it means it's not VAR making the decision, and
that's
the ref doesn't
look
like an idiot.
You've perfectly bought into the rhetoric. You bought it.
Right. For me, the ref did exactly the right thing,
and
it was
fine.
The anger that came out of Lee was horrendous. It's a red card. He was
any
so
referee
angry.
That doesn't give a straight red seconds within that happening is a crap ref.
Oh, wow.
And that ref knew that was a red, and he purposely brought out the yellow so that he could bring to the table this rhetoric
Did
about
VAR. Did you say
VAR
this on Twitter?
Working. Yes.
You're going to get a suspension.
I don't know.
Yes, when the managers slag off the ref, they get suspended. You will get suspended. I guarantee you, the Premier League will be knocking on your door going, excuse me, Mr. Bonfield, you get a 3-match ban for being rude about the referee.
I've said worse than that about refs on Twitter, I can tell you. Anyway, back to the football. Thoughts on Liverpool, the Salah and Mane debate?
It's
going to rage on.
I mean, last week, obviously, we had a hat-trick from Salah. This week, we've got a brace from Mane.
Simple, isn't it? You just captain Salah at home and you captain Mane away.
Well, yeah, but... Yeah, I mean, yeah, in theory it is. If you want to spend every week, your transfer every week is to swap Salah for Mane in backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. Look, it's impossible. And we said this before, and I don't know if we said it last weekend, but if we didn't, we probably should have. For me, I'll always go Salah over Mane just because if Milner's not on the pitch, there's the penalty aspect. It does, of course it means that games like this will happen, where Salah gets nothing and Mane gets the glory. That's just how it is. But the good thing for me, and it's why I don't mind owning Salah over Mane, is that if you own Salah, because his ownership is so much higher, it doesn't so much hurt when Mane does stuff, because it's not hurting your rank quite as much. But if it's the other way round and you're a Mane owner at a much lower ownership and Salah's the one banging, it really hurts. And I think that's where, and this leads into what you do about Manchester City, I guess, because it's the same boat with KDB and Sterling this year. So I think for me, the bottom line is, they will level out over the course of the season. Salah and Mane,
we say it all the time,
they
right?
will roughly level out. Some weeks you'll feel rubbish because your player doesn't perform. Other weeks they'll do things like Salah did last week and you'll think they're heroes. And that's the end of it. You just have to stay. For me, I'm just going to have Salah on my team all season and be done with it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think I was actually licking my lips seeing Alonso in that starting lineup against Salah. I just thought, oh, here we go. He's going to get loads of space
loads
in behind.
Of chances, though.
It's the least attacking performance I've ever seen Marcus Alonso play in a Chelsea shirt. He was obviously under strict instructions to hold his line and stuff. And Salah just didn't really ever get in behind in the way that sort of Leeds let him, you know. What will be very interesting is that in the Arsenal game next week, it'll be interesting to see whether Arteta takes the Leeds approach or the Chelsea approach.
They're attacking.
If he comes with the Leeds approach, which is a bit gung-ho, then of course we can find space in behind. But if he comes with the Arsenal, I'm not so sure.
I think they will.
I think he might do a bit more of the Chelsea approach.
I can't see it at Anfield.
I think if it was at the Emirates, he might come out a bit more.
I don't know. I think from a Chelsea point of view, for me, I still don't own any Chelsea players. And I said to Lee just before we came on, while we were watching this game, I said, I feel like I've learnt nothing about Chelsea. I've watched them for 180 minutes now.
Well, I don't think today was that indicative of how they're going to play for most of the season, do you?
No, but I watched them against Brighton and I didn't feel like I learnt much, because I actually thought that what I learnt was that Brighton looked really good in that game. And I thought Brighton were, I said this in my own direction to that game, I felt Brighton were really unlucky in that game not to get something out of it. And then I watched them today and I thought, I didn't see a lot again, and I'm still in this quandary now. So now I'm in a bigger plockle. A bigger pickle.
A bigger what?
A bigger pickle. But right. I said plockle. I don't know what a plockle is, but hey-ho. A bigger pickle. Because obviously for next weekend, they play West Brom, managerless West Brom, because he'll be in the stands. Kieran Gibbs-less West Brom, because he'll be suspended. Which Chelsea player do you go with? I still don't know.
A lot of the FPL community invested in Kai Havertz.
Yeah.
A bit anonymous in the first game.
Yeah.
I say a bit anonymous. What I actually mean was worst debut I've ever seen in a Chelsea shirt. Second game week, hauled at half time.
Not his fault, but
hauled at half time. How would you be feeling if you were holding Havertz right now? You'd be worried, right? 8.5?
Yeah, I would be.
It's a very easy switch to Pulisic. Well, unless you're going to start losing some points on Havertz, which could happen. But I think it's an easy switch to either Havertz or Ziyech when those guys are fit. But that feels like a bit of a question mark, particularly around Pulisic right now. This doesn't want to go away, this injury for Pulisic, does
no.
it?
No, and this is the thing, is that I always said pre-season I wanted Pulisic, but obviously you can't own Pulisic while he's injured, because, you just can't. So I kind of, and I still feel the same, I still feel like I'd rather own Pulisic than I would own some of these other guys. So I'm still in this quandary now where I still don't have a Chelsea player, and I'm about to go into game week 3. And I know that come the game week 3 deadline next Saturday, I still won't own a Chelsea player. I know I won't, because I've got other things to deal with.
Okay. All right, well, listen, plenty still to ponder on Chelsea. A lot of people saying, well, Trent's not worth the money. Trent says Trent's that. Listen, Trent is Trent.
Listen.
7 points this week. I mean, all right, we've got the penalty save, so a bit jammy potentially. But
You take He'd Trent out, I guarantee you get a 15-point haul the week you do.
He'd be fine. We've got the Arsenal game, and then the fixtures after the Arsenal game for Liverpool are Aston Villa, Everton, Sheffield United, West Ham. Out of those four, I would say Everton away. Is, you know, it's obviously a difficult fixture, but Villa, Sheffield United, West Ham, there's goals and points there for Trent and Salah. And
Trent was unlucky today with that free kick. He could have easily got some attacking returns
today.
Yeah,
and he was back on sort of some of the corners from his side, whereas Robbo was on corners his side. It's a bit of a coin toss between the two. So if you really need to save that 0.5, have a look. But listen, I'm not, you know, I think it's a hold for Trent. I wouldn't be selling it.
It is me.
We need to rattle through some of these other games, Sam. I know it's Leicester. It's still Leicester nil, Burnley nil on this screen. So I need to refresh that for a second.
How did it finish?
It finished 4-2. 4-2. So another bonkers game.
So 39 goals we've had in 8 games.
Absolutely crazy. I want to go through these games fairly quickly, but let's talk about the ongoing saga. And I don't know whether it is turning into a bit of a saga at Old Trafford, but as we said, or as I said last week, I just wanted to wait and see on Manchester United. They'd had a bit of a fragmented summer. They'd had a bit of a lot of their players had contracted COVID. So there was Pogba got it, and I think a few others. And I noticed Wan-Bissaka had gone travelling without the consent of the club. You know, the Maguire thing going on in Greece. They had the Greenwood thing going on with England duty. None of that sort of felt very good to me in terms of preparation for a new season. And then, of course, you sort of blanket over the top of that their inability to get Sancho and some of these other players that were supposed to be coming. Ironically, it's Van der Beek that comes in and gets the goal for them. Mm. As a Bruno owner, and here's the killer question that was on kind of my lips at the end of that game was, I'm absolutely thinking about bringing in Bruno. Of course I am, because why wouldn't you? He's one of the top FPL assets in the game. But when Donny van der Beek came on, I thought Bruno sat back a little bit. Now, is that because Bruno was a bit tired at that point in the game? Or if both of those guys start in any particular game, are we likely to see a bit less of Bruno going forward? By the way, you can't answer every question as I don't know. The guys are looking for some FPL insight.
With Manchester United, I genuinely don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. So I brought in Bruno this week on the basis that I really wanted him. He was the player I wanted from pre-season. I took out Son for him. And I don't know how I feel about him now. Look, there's no way he's going. He stays for the next game week. 100% I'm keeping him. Would I bring him in this week, though, on the basis of what I've just seen last week? No, I wouldn't.
No.
So having watched him play on Saturday night, if I hadn't already brought him in, I definitely wouldn't be bringing him in now.
Nothing from Martial or Rashford either. They looked really ineffective, didn't they?
They all looked ineffective, apart from when Donny came on and they did look a bit better. But
was it just a fitness thing? Was it the fact that Palace had had an extra game? I know it's only one extra game, but that means a lot.
But it's
at
a
this
competitive extra
season.
Game, and it's important. It's not like a pre-season friendly, and even the last pre-season friendly that they played against, was it Aston Villa last weekend? They played last weekend. Even in that game, they didn't have a full-strength team out because, you know, they were still, some of them were still isolating, some of them were still recovering, some of them just were rested, whatever. So this was the first competitive game they've had in a long time and the first time that they've had a full-strength team out in a long time. So yes, I think there was an element of the fact that Crystal Palace are, or were, a week ahead of them in terms of their reintegration back into
competitive
football.
Which is why I think
Wolves
might give Man City a real game tomorrow. That's going to be a tough game for City, I think.
I mean, I genuinely hope that it's like a Kevin De Bruyne own goal and a Jimenez own goal and it ends 1-1, because that would be all right for me points-wise. But I think with Manchester United, if you own an asset, you've got to hold them for another week. You can't panic on it. Things will improve. They have to. But I also think if you don't own a Manchester United asset, don't rush this. Take another week to look at them before you make a decision.
Okay.
That's my view.
All right, before we get to Crystal Palace, the chat are saying, Super Chats! Or we riot. So there must be some super chats that I've missed. Sorry, guys, we can't. It'd be very difficult to get to every single super chat.
Which ones did you miss?
There's one. Daniel Henkel. I'm definitely wildcarding. I have no Everton or City assets. Pretty good reason to wildcard there, Daniel, I would say. Everton in particular. Even more so than Man City, potentially.
Well, we're about to find out tomorrow about Did you realise how highly owned Kevin De Bruyne was until we looked a minute ago?
That's the top. I can't scroll any more than that. So, guys, I did miss Daniel's, but if I've missed any others, then I do apologise. We will get into the comments when I watch this video back, and I'll make sure that I respond to the super chats in the comments. But, Daniel, yes, I think wildcarding is, is absolutely... We said it all the time. I said it on the FPL show last week. There's no right or wrong time. If you feel like it's the right time now because you've got no Everton, no City, maybe you want Wolves ahead of game week 3, maybe you're sitting on Bissouma, maybe you're sitting on St. Maximan, maybe wild card is the right thing to do, Sam. I don't know. More on that later on. Crystal Palace, though, back-to-back wins for the first time in their top flight history.
Is that right?
Crystal, but never in top flight history ever won their first two games back-to-back. And I thought, again, as we said last week, very, very well organised. Hodgson is running a tight ship there. And, you know, listen, they did very, very well indeed. Tyrick Mitchell, by the way, with an assist.
Stop it, Tyrick
so
Mitchell.
So he needs to stop. Patrick Van Aanholt needs to come back. Otherwise, he's going to be trolling all of us Ferguson owners. The Crystal Palace fixtures look like this. Everton next game week, which is going to be a fantastic game, I think. That's really intriguing. At Palace, away at Chelsea, home to Brighton, away at Fulham and away at Wolves. So again, a mixed bag, let's say, for Crystal Palace, but they've started off really, really well.
They have, and it's the one thing that their performances to start the season is the one thing that's massively putting me off bringing in an Everton player, and it's the one thing that's preventing me wildcarding. Is that, well, actually, there's two things preventing me wildcarding, but we'll talk about them later. But one of them is Palace and how good Palace have looked. I genuinely haven't seen Palace start or play this well, consistently this well, I mean, it's been 2 weeks now,
yeah,
in a long time. I think Eze is really, really good. I really like him.
It's exciting talent, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Mitchell's had a good start to the season. I think it's great for Patrick Van Aanholt to have that competition because he is a bit
different sort of defender, though. He's a proper defender, isn't he, Mitchell? Whereas PBA comes in and he starts attacking, it's a different dimension.
He is, but I think, you know, it's good to have that because Patrick Van Aanholt has never really had a proper understudy, has he? He's never really had somebody that's kind of competing for his place. He always just plays. So I really like the way Palace is set up, and I don't think they give Everton an easy ride next week. In fact, I would be pretty certain that they won't give Everton an easy ride next week, that they will come out, they will defend well, they'll be solid. And I don't see Everton getting five again, let's put it that way.
All right, well, Bossman525, thank you for the comment. He says, Zaha is an FPL trap. Now, listen, this guy is he's renowned, I think. I think the reason we call him a trap, or certainly Bossman's calling him a trap, is because he's renowned for finding a bit of form. Everyone piles onto him in FPL, and then he quickly loses that form. But I have to say, as a 7 million out-of-position midfielder who's playing up front and maybe on penalties when Milivojevic is not on the pitch... because Ayew cocked it up, didn't he? And Zaha kind of went, all right, well, I'll take it. I don't know. I find myself being lulled back into the Zaha trap, don't you? 7 million?
No, the transfer window's still open. Let's not beat about the bush on this.
Yeah, but we say this every
year. No, I won't own Zaha. He trolls you every... Like, trolls me
I've got enough money to do St. Maximin to Zaha, and I'm considering it.
All right, then. Off you go.
I know I'm falling into a trap, but I'm going to do it anyway. Billy Tolan Brown with the super chat. Thank you very
much.
Another
one of our patrons.
Wild card played. Is there an FPL rehab for bad decisions? Well, this is about as close as you're going to get, Billy, I think. Is
and the Slack will be there to help you with your wild card.
The Slack is there to help you, mate, because Billy is, of course, one of our patrons. So, yeah, the Slack is there to help you, mate. Get in there and just, if you need to, just get stuff off your chest. Maybe we should start a new little thread just called, like, rehab. Or just, like...
Do I need to get in there every time Richarlison does something?
Get in the Slack, Billy, and set up a channel called Rehab. And we can all just go
FPL
in there
rehab.
And just vent. Just that can be your venting place.
If nobody's set that up by the time the live stream finishes, I will set up an FPL Rehab stream.
One of the patrons, get in there and set up.
Somebody will do
rehab.
That in a minute. My watch will start beeping because one of them will set it
it's
up.
It's going to happen. Arsenal 2, West Ham 1. We were expecting, I think, much more from Mr. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. But, again, left... Lacazette in the middle. We all, over the summer, thinking, well, Lacazette's going to go, isn't he? So he's not going to maybe trust Nketiah fully, and Aubameyang's going to be up front in the middle. But that's not the case. So did Aubameyang's performance in that game make you want to sell him that little bit more? Did he do enough to justify staying in your squad?
No,
Or is it now a Man City in for Aubameyang?
I'm disgusted by him.
Oh, what is wrong with you tonight? Why
honestly,
is that one?
I am.
Just because he's Arsenal?
No.
Disgusted
no.
by him. You've got two returns in two games.
Because the first week my vice captain was Salah, and the second week my vice captain was Kane.
Wow.
And I've got Aubameyang.
It's not his fault, is it?
I've got Aubameyang, Mr. I've got lovely fixtures to start the season, Mr. I'm on great form pre-season, Mr. I can only muster one goal and one assist.
You need to get into rehab with Billy. This is what is wrong with you tonight?
I'm not interested in Aubameyang anymore.
Right,
I know that he could hurt me, but he's got Liverpool next, and Liverpool, they don't get smashed, so he won't score four.
Often.
No, Aubameyang doesn't come to Liverpool. He's too far out on the wing. He's not getting in the positions that I want him to be. He's far too out of position for me to want to spend £12 million of my budget on. I would far rather spend that budget elsewhere.
I think weirdly, I agree, but not quite so wholeheartedly as you are. I think Aubameyang's had a reasonable start to the season. I think Arsenal are absolutely moving in the right direction. And
I
think
disagree.
They absolutely give us a game next weekend. And then they've got Sheffield United at home. So I totally see why people might not want to sell Aubameyang. I totally understand that. I'm going to have a look at Man City tomorrow night and decide whether I want to go for Sterling or KDB or neither and maybe go for someone else. I don't know. But I can see a case for keeping him. Whereas you are absolutely steadfast. He's gone. He's out.
I am.
Wow, okay.
I
don't disagree. I'm just not quite so down the line as you are.
The fixtures shift. They get much harder for Arsenal.
I'm glad you said shift, yeah.
It's a family stream, behave. The fixtures shift. He had two lovely games to start the season. Neither of them he set the world on fire, and believe me, I was watching him and hoping he was, because he was my captain both weeks. He just isn't where I need him or want him to be. Mm. I want him to be in the middle of the pitch, receiving the ball in the same way that you see from all the big hitters that you're spending your money on. That's where you find Salah, it's where you find Kane, it's where you find Son. I'm not seeing that with Aubameyang, and he's going to cost £12 million.
That's the thing for me, I think. If Albor was coming in at sort of Fernandez's price, or maybe 10, then you'd go, okay, well, he's a... Yeah, in midfielder, and he looks really, really good. But at 12, it's a bit like, I want to be able to captain him every week, which I think you can. But with the fixtures coming up, Liverpool away, Sheffield United at home, like I mentioned, then it's the Etihad, then it's Leicester at home, then it's Manchester United away. So the next three away for Arsenal are Liverpool, Man City and Manchester United. Now, we know what Aubameyang's like away from home. He ain't that great.
No.
But in four, game week four, you've got Sheffield United at home. Well, listen, there's plenty of options. You've got...
Who do Man City have in four?
Who Man City got? They got Leeds.
Yeah.
So maybe you could captain somebody there. Chelsea have got Palace at home. You've got Everton even playing Brighton at home. Wolves are playing Fulham at home. So there's lots of options there. And then if you look at game week six, when Arsenal are playing Leicester at home, let's see, you've got, what have we got here? So you've got Wolves, again, home to Newcastle, if you wanted to have a look at that. You've got Liverpool at home to Sheffield United, Man City away at West Ham. So I think in the two game weeks where, over the next five, where you would captain Aubameyang potentially, which is in game week four and six, there are other options that don't look too bad.
And
I don't think you would captain Aubameyang in any of the other three.
No. And
so at £12 million, that's a bit much for me.
Yeah. And I think that this season, you cannot own every premium asset. It is physically impossible to own them all. So you have to make peace with the fact that at times, players will make good performances and you won't own them. And for me, that's Aubameyang, because I feel the upside to players like Sterling and KDB is far better, it's far greater.
All right, any words on West Ham? I think obviously Antonio scored a nice goal. Suchek again was, I think, showing his value, right? I'm not sitting here thinking I'm, you know, buzzing to have Suchek, because I'm looking at the fixtures, I'm looking at the way that West Ham played for, certainly in game week one, I thought against Arsenal they were better. But again, I'm looking at those fixtures and certainly not thinking about bringing any West Ham in. But at 5 million, Suchek, I think, is okay. He gets in amongst it. He has efforts on goal. He's good aerially. They look for him from set pieces. At 5 million, I think there's a chance he sits in my team for a very long time, to be honest with you.
But
and
he
just
can
sort,
at
just
5
sort
million.
Ticks over.
He can.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
Okay. All right, there we go. So that's enough said about West Ham. Let's move to a very quick word then on Newcastle 0, Brighton 3. And I do mean a very quick word because we're running rapidly out of time. What's your thoughts on Alan Saint-Maximin? Hasn't set the world alight, has he, in the first two game weeks? And perhaps in the way that perhaps we were kind of hoping, or maybe, I don't know, at 5.5, maybe we were over-hoping, I don't know. But obviously goes off with a bit of an injury today. I don't know whether he was just basically embarrassed to be up. I mean, Lamptey was unbelievable, by the way, this game. And if you own Lamptey, very, very difficult to take that today, because he came off on 58 minutes.
Got man of the match, though.
Got man of the match, having not even played the hour. Was fantastic. Obviously got the assist for being brought down for the penalty. You've got to now see what that injury looks like, because if it's a bad one, which we hope it's not, because he looks so good, then reluctantly you might be taking him out.
He did come back and sit on the bench. He didn't spend the whole of the second half.
Let's hope
when
he's
went
right.
off, he didn't
yeah,
go. He went right. down, but then he came back out to watch the game, and that normally is a really good sign.
That's a good sign. But he was taking the mick out of St Max, wasn't
he? Well, he was, but yes, he was. Was that because Lamptey was excellent? Yes. Was that also because Max picked up a knock in the middle of the week? And maybe he rushed him too back
yeah,
too soon.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Possibly. I'm not sure that Max should have played that game, if I'm honest.
Yeah, quite possibly.
He didn't look himself at all. He didn't look like he had the pace. He looked off it. From the very moment the game started, he looked off it.
So if you were going to transfer St Maximin out, which I must admit I am now considering, not on my wild card, but if you were to wild card, or even if you were... St Maximin out for who? Because 5.5, I think on the face of it, might be a difficult bracket, but I think there's some value there. And in particular, I've got a real beady eye, if not two beady eyes, on Daniel Podence yeah. for Wolves tomorrow night. Because with Neto going to Liverpool, Neto Jota going to Liverpool.
I don't have anyone else going
yeah,
to
I know,
Liverpool.
Right? But
Mr. Klopp, I've got no money. Oh, suddenly I've got loads of money. Two transfers in 2 days.
Yeah, but you've obviously...
I've got no money.
You've obviously failed
to... I've
got
two transfers in 2 days.
You've failed... You've just seen the headlines, as usual.
I've got no money.
Not seen the way that we've financed
those
deals.
I've got no money.
Yeah, we're not really paying most of the Thiago money until next year. But anyway, you read the details.
I've got no money.
So with Jota going to Liverpool, that opens up, I think, that left side for Podence to make it his own. Now, can Neto play there? Yes, he can. But he obviously prefers Neto sort of right at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they bring anybody in that might... put any of those places at risk, I don't know. So maybe keep your eye on the transfer window. But
I hate the transfer window.
Podence is... I said it sort of 30 to 38 at the back end of last season. I really liked him. Then over the summer, I was like, I really like this guy. Now, the Wolves fixtures look like this, Sam. West Ham, Fulham, Leeds, Newcastle, Palace. It ain't getting any better than that. And that is the main reason why I'm not selling him in it as a head of injury. Obviously, if he gets injured, then you know, hope he doesn't. But if he's injured, that'll obviously change. But those fixtures look like they are very much... double upable, that's the wrong phrase. Yeah, you'd want to double up in attack potentially, and Podence would be a really nice way to do that.
I hate not owning Jimenez. I hate it. It's the one thing that I hate about my fantasy team. I mean, there's a few things I hate, but the one thing I genuinely hate about FPL is not owning Jimenez. It hurts me every game week. I feel sick about watching Wolves play without owning
Jimenez.
But
what about Podence as a St Maximin replacement?
I worry that I'm doing it for... I can't afford Jimenez, so I'll get Podence. And I'll always feel like I wish I'd spent the extra money on Jimenez. But then
it's a lot
equally,
of extra money, though.
It is a lot of extra money. But equally, I think we need to see Podence again. I think we need to watch him again. I mean, and look, if he can perform against Manchester City, then he's not losing his place.
Yeah.
Because if you perform against Man City, you don't lose your place.
I personally hope he doesn't. He's at 0.8% team selected by right now, Podence. That might be slightly different, you guys can tell me. But he is very lowly owned. And if he comes and has a banger against Man City, all of those St Maximin owners are going to go, right, bang, well, that's easy, isn't it? Whereas I hope he doesn't show up tomorrow, because ahead of that run of fixtures, I definitely want to go double Wolves. I'm considering Sice, I'm considering a few other options, but it just feels too... flipping obvious for me. I've got St Maximin there who's looked rubbish and is injured potentially. And I've got Wolves who looked great in game week one. I'm expecting them to look good tomorrow, by the way. I think they will. I think they've got a very, very good chance of getting some points against Man City. And they look good. And you've got this Nuno Espirito Santo philosophy now. My perception is their philosophy is they want to score more goals. And they're letting people like Podence play. And at 5.5, all right. I don't think he's cover necessarily for Jimenez. I agree with you on that. But 5-5, I mean, come on, it's great value, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are a couple of others in that sort of price bracket. I mean,
you've got Click at Leeds as well, right?
Yeah, although he's had a price rise, I think.
Oh, has he? Okay.
So I think he's 5-6 now. But if you can get a little bit more money, there's Eze at Palace, who I think looks really nice.
Yeah.
If you're going with the Aubameyang to KDB thing, that might work. We've already mentioned Suchek, who... still looked impressive even in a difficult game, so he's an option. But I do like Podence. I do need a way into Wolves, and Podence is the easiest way in.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, listen, we've ended up talking about Wolves then, and we should have been talking about Brighton and Newcastle. I don't know what else to say about that. Maupai with two goals and an assist. So listen, is he back on the radar? He's on penalties. So frankly, any penalty taker has got... you know, he's on my watch list the way this season's going.
Yeah.
He's on my watch list whether I like him or not. He's on there because he takes penalties.
How much
absolute
is he?
Beauty
six.
From I think he's about six, the chat can tell us. But I particularly like Connolly. I thought Connolly took his goal very, very well today. Very well. So Brighton, as you quite rightly said earlier.
Thank you, Ryan, for my clean
sheet.
Yes,
very happy to see. I was like, who's Ryan? Yeah, very, very happy to see Ryan's clean sheet in there. And as you said, didn't look, you know, 3-1 sort of flattered Chelsea a little bit in game week one. And then Brighton come along and beat Newcastle 3-0. I just want to touch on their fixtures because I haven't looked at them myself, actually. United at home next, which is again intriguing now. Everton and Crystal Palace away, which does look tricky, before West Brom at home in six, and then Spurs away. So, actually, those Brighton fixtures, that given the way that Everton and Palace have started the season, that looks tricky now, doesn't it? Potentially.
Maybe.
But they've started well as well. They've
honestly,
well
I've well. Watched 180 minutes of Brighton, and I've been super impressed. They've been the surprise package for me.
Very good. All right, let's see, where else can we go? We can't really analyse Leicester 4, Burnley 2, because it was still going on the way when we started the stream. Let's just have a very quick rundown of Leeds 4, Fulham 3 then. Where to start with that? I think
silly game.
I certainly feel like Leeds are going to be very entertaining this season.
Yeah, they are.
Very entertaining. I mean, that's 2-4-3s they've been in. And listen, they've got options all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, even Bamford, I think, has got a price rise from 5-5 to 5-6. Probably going to be 5-7 come next game week. You've got Click there, who we mentioned before. Your boy Harrison, I really like. The guy that plays in the single pivot, Phillips, who got his first cap for England. Quality player. I mean, they've got some absolute talents, Leeds.
They're decent, Leeds.
Now, don't know if I fancy them too much defensively, I have to say. I think they do leave some gaps there, and I do think they leave a lot. I think they trust in Phillips as that single pivot. A lot of teams go double pivot, don't they? Whereas they're like, right, well, you go single pivot and just play, and we trust you that you can get about and amongst it. That's a hard role to play. That requires a lot of legs, and frankly, we're on game week two. But Phillips, I think, is the sort of player that could do that. He's very, very good. But given the amount of goals that they have leaked so far, I don't think I'm necessarily yet inspired to go for to even get into the Dallas or Ayling debate.
No.
We kind of touched on it last week. Of the two, I think I prefer Ayling based on what I've seen so far, but I don't really know why. Yeah. If anything, I'm more inspired to look at the other end of the pitch.
The thing is, the other end of the pitch is nice, cheap options. And you know, Bamford, I mentioned when we were talking about Shea Adams, because cheaper, yeah, well, same price, on form, got penalties in his locker, which Adams doesn't have because obviously
Bamford on penalties.
Yeah, I think so.
Really? Okay.
Think so. Whereas Adams doesn't have that guaranteed get match time. I feel like of watching this game with Bamford and Mitrovic, that the two of them together, watching them play, obviously in opposite teams, but I was much more inspired by Bamford than I was Mitrovic. Mitrovic feels like he's there for a header and a penalty, whereas Bamford feels like he's going to work. They're going to work something out as a team because they just look a bit better going forward. There's goals for Leeds this season, and I do need to find a way to be part of it.
Yeah, I think you're right, but again, you know, I know you're saying about Mitrovic, but he's on penalties, and every penalty taker is on my watch list right now, and
it's
6 million. You know what you're going to get with Mitrovic. And what I like about him is he's a talisman, right? He's one of those, and you guys that listen to Who Got the Assist will know all about their talisman theory. And what Tom and Nick and Stag do over there is they talk about the fact that there's this go-to player in each of the sides. And he is absolutely there for them. They missed him in game week one, let's face it.
They did, yeah.
Let's face it, they really missed him. And in game week two, he gets 2 goals. So at 6 million, what more do you want? I don't know. The guys in the chat are saying Click is on pens.
Oh,
so there you go. So there's another option. There's another reason to have a look at Click for Leeds. So plenty to pick the bones from that game. But Leeds fixtures do look tricky going forward. It's Sheffield United away next. Let's see whether that's tricky or not. Then Man City, then Wolves, before Aston Villa, and then Leicester. So again, on the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, they are towards the bottom there, Leeds. But more options than I thought there would be at Leeds. I knew we'd see good stuff from Leeds. But actually, some of their players, I think Harrison's a lovely little player.
And they
I
will
really
attack.
Do.
Because they can't really defend that well, so they'll attack to defend, and there will be goals for them.
And how good was Costa's first goal? Smash
it. He's quality, Helder Costa.
Fantastic. But I really like just the whole feel of Leeds
football.
And Bielsa and everything about them. I just like him. I think they've got no issue. They will stay up.
I hope so. I really like
no
Leeds.
Issue. They will stay
I
up.
Wanted them to come up last year. I like Leeds.
There
I
we go.
To stay up.
So there we go. Honestly, I could talk for another 3 hours about this game week. There was so much to
it's
discuss.
Been bonkers, isn't it?
It has been absolutely ridiculous. And of course, we've still got two games to go, which feature two teams that we haven't even seen play yet at all in the league. We haven't seen Villa play at all yet.
No.
We haven't seen City play at all. So we've yet to see Grealish and De Bruyne. So you think you've got options for your wild card now.
Will Keane and Davis play?
What? I hope so, because it'd be really nice to have a 4.5 option, though I do think the Brewster move is brewing.
When is it happening?
I think it will happen.
That's when my wild card's going to happen, I think.
I think it will happen, but listen, we need Sam to get on to our scores for the weekend. So here is my score. It is absolutely bang on average. And do you know what? I'm okay with it being average this week. I came into it and I looked at my team and I just thought, I've got a lot of players playing each other there. I've got Liverpool and Chelsea playing each other. I'm not massively comfortable that I'm on double Newcastle against a Brighton team that looked pretty good. So I'm on 45 points. I think that is the FPL average right now. I had a pretty good game week one. We sat here last week having not had the Chelsea game, if you remember. And then I had Reece James,
yeah,
and I had Werner,
really,
and I had Jimenez, got some goals. So I actually ended up game week one on about 70 points. So I had a very solid game week one indeed. And then game week two has kind of gone to pretty much average. My overall rank, for what it's worth, is 1.34. I won't be looking at that much until sort of game week five or six. Am I happy with it? Yeah, I think so. Because again, if I look at, you know, I was always planning at the beginning of the season to think about, you know, I had the foresight to do what you did at the beginning of last season, which is, all right, game week one's very important, you do well, but have a look at game weeks, you know, three, four, five.
Yeah.
And I feel like my team is in a pretty good position for three, four, and five. And I knew at the beginning of the season when I set my team up, game week two would be difficult.
Mm.
Would be difficult. So, all right, Jimenez, if he gets a couple of goals against Man City, I'm laughing and I'm above average and I'm doing fine. Because I've still got Jimenez to go in this team. But I look around the team and I think, well, I don't see any major problems jumping out at me there.
No.
And again, this is my philosophy, guys. I said this last week. This is the way that I'm slightly adapting my style towards for FPL this season, is to look at where my weakest link is and then try and get the best replacement I can for that weakest link. And last week, there's no doubt the weakest link was Ali in my mind. So I got rid of him and I brought in James Rodriguez. That was obviously a nice switch. Very happy to have that. Very happy now to have James Rodriguez, yeah, going forward. The weakest point in my team now looks like St. Maximan. That looks like the weakest point in my team.
Yeah.
And I feel like a sideways move to Pedence is going to be pretty popular for us St. Maximan owners. But it feels right. Now, obviously, I'm not going to do it tonight. I'm obviously going to wait to see Wolves tomorrow night and see how Pedence gets on, or even if he starts.
Because we've also got League Cup this week as well, so be careful.
There's a lot going on. There's absolutely a lot going on. Now, at the same time, I do want to do the Aubameyang move to a Man City player. I do want to do that. So am I open to taking a hit this week? Yeah, I think I am. But again, sorting out, you know, moving Aubameyang to a KDB is not me sorting out my weakest link. My weakest link is St. Maximin. That's what needs fixing this week, and maybe Aubameyang can wait another week. I don't know. Let's wait and see whether De Bruyne steps up at Molineux tomorrow night and absolutely smashes it. If Sterling smashes it tomorrow night, then I might be tempted by that differential. But right now, if I'm going to go with my newfound ethos for 2021, which is to fix the weakest link, it would be St. Maximin out next week, probably, for Daniel Pedence. The rest of the team looks okay. Listen, James and Werner got nothing against Liverpool today. Again, in game week one, when I picked my two Chelsea players, I thought they could do well in game week one. Not expect them to beat Liverpool in game week two. From game week three, it's West Brom and it looks great. So that's fine. I'm setting my team up there. I've got the Liverpool players are going nowhere. I'm very happy that they've got Arsenal at home next. Of course, the fixtures do look pretty tricky for Liverpool. So it's Villa after that, then Everton, then Sheffield United. But I'm happy with those two. Very happy with Rodriguez. Kyle Walker-Peters is an interesting one because Saints haven't been defending well at all, no doubt about it. But they're coming up against a couple of teams that, well, despite Burnley scoring a couple of goals tonight, I don't feel in my mind Burnley are score a ton of goals.
No.
Right? So maybe Saints can do that. And I don't see Jay Rodriguez or Chris Wood as like rapid players like Son,
no,
who are going to break that high line of Saints. So the Saints might actually get away with that next week if they play against those guys. Interestingly, when they come up against West Brom, West Brom have got a couple of quick players in Deane Garner who could actually break that line. So maybe I'm a bit more concerned about it in game week four. But Kyle Walker-Peters got the assist today. Could have had an assist in game week one for Ings at the end there of that first game. So not overly concerned about him.
Mm-hmm.
I would, about 45 minutes into that Brighton game, I was thinking I'd really like to switch to Lamptey because Lamptey looks absolutely sensational.
No,
and I would actually be cool with the double Brighton defence given how they've started. But Lamptey obviously has got the injury and I've got to think about that. And then Jimenez, yeah, again, came into it, eyes wide open. Game week one, don't know how he's going to do, let's see. Game week two, Man City, I know it's going to be difficult. So the pre-season, I always had in my head game week two was going to be difficult. But game week three and then going onwards, I'm pretty set up for. And I wouldn't need to wildcard early unless I'd had a catastrophe.
Mm.
Now, the glaring omission from this team is no Manchester United, no Man City. Now, I sat here last week and I said the reason I'm not moving on those guys quickly is because I want to see what they're like. We've seen what Manchester United are like. Didn't like it. Doesn't mean they're bad picks, because they're not a bad team. They don't turn into a bad team overnight. But I did want to see how that Van der Beek dynamic was going to affect that midfield. And we've already seen, guys, a little bit of that having a negative effect on Bruno. And we've seen Rashford and Martial not really get into the game much against Crystal Palace. So, again, I want to see something from Man United before I invest a lot of money in those guys.
Yeah.
And then Manchester City, you know, absolutely could be my transfer in this week for Aubameyang. Absolutely could do that. And I really am thinking about that. I want to see him tomorrow. And then I'll act after that. That Wolves City game, as has been the case for a lot of these games, I am doing some pretty heavy scouting right now. And I think that's the mentality you should take, guys. You don't have to... And that's why I wouldn't say I'm frustrated, but I see a lot of Twitter going, oh, I'm playing my wild card, playing my wild card, playing my wild card. I get it. If you feel like it's right to play your wild card, I'm not going to talk you out of it. If you feel like it's right to do it, it's right to do it. But I feel like we've got so much still to learn about these sides. So much. We haven't even seen Man City play football yet. Aston Villa haven't kicked a football yet, and there's people playing wild cards. It's like, I feel like I've still got so much scouting to do before there's a wild card, before I need to play a wild card. Now, maybe I could go back and look at my summer and say, all right, well, I set it up to not have to play a wild card, because I knew in game week 3 I'd have a pretty good team. All right, well done, pat on the back. But at the same time, I don't... people that are playing their wild card, I can't believe that a couple of hits or maybe just a -4 wouldn't sort it out. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, that's by the by. If you want to play a wild card, play a wild card. Game week points 45, overall 115. It's solid. It's 1.34. It's not amazing, but it's a solid start, and it'll do. Talk us through your team then. 52 points. No doubt, Sam, who the main man is, and that is Mr. Kane up top. But I'm equally interested in the rest of your side, because you've got Shea Adams there, who started well without getting any points. You've got Aubameyang, who you're thinking of transferring. Eric Dier, who is a bit hot and cold. St. Maximan with the injury. Bissouma with the suspension now. So there's a few wild cardable options there for your side. How do you feel about it?
Last night, I went to bed thinking I'm 100% wild carding, but I'm waiting until Monday night. I've never been a reactive... I don't think I am, anyway. I don't think I'm a reactive FPL player. I don't think I just kind of react on a bad day. But last night, I felt very negative. The Manchester United game put me in a very bad mood, because I'd spent a lot of money on Bruno, and I said to you, didn't I?
I think a lot of people
said to you, when Bruno blanked, I was like, okay, I'll get a hat-trick tomorrow. I didn't expect him to get four. And I was sort of saying it in jest, but I was expecting some to then perform. So I went to bed quite negative. Then today happened, and that early kickoff, and I watched Harry Kane and Son do their thing and thought, the wild card, my position, and if you listen to the very first podcast I did with James this year, on the official pod, I said Kane was my budget for my wild card. Kane, the idea was that I would hold him for maybe 4, 5, 6, 10 weeks, depending upon when my wild card was necessary, and then Kane would go, and that would free up the budget for the rest of my side.
Yeah.
I can't get rid of Kane. There's absolutely on the back of that performance, with the spirit at Spurs raised as it is currently with the Bale thing and everything else that's going on, it's the wrong time to leave Spurs. So I'm not doing that. I look at my team, and you're right in what you've just said. There are problems there in terms of St. Max is a problem, probably, unless something changes overnight with his fitness. Bissouma is obviously a problem now because he's suspended till October. So those are my kind of two pivot points. Shea Adams, yes, he could change. Yes, there are probably other options there that I could go to, but I don't feel like that's necessary right now. He could wait a week.
Yeah.
I hate to
talk about coverage. I hate that word. I hate coverage. But if I look at your team and I think of the way that the fixtures are turning in game week 3, you probably want a few Wolves, don't you? You probably want a couple of Chelsea.
I don't know.
Some Everton, maybe, and Man City. So there's a few teams I would, inverted commas, sort of missing from that.
I don't want Chelsea because I don't know who I want.
Okay.
I want Pulisic, but he's not fit. Okay. So I won't go Chelsea. I don't feel I've seen enough from Chelsea to invest the money I need from Werner. I'd have to take Kane out to get Werner, and I don't want to do that. So I'm not doing Chelsea. Everton, yes, absolutely. But the game they've got next week is tough against Palace.
I'm not necessarily
thinking I need to do that next week, because I don't see them scoring 5 again next week. So I feel like Everton could perhaps wait one more week. Wolves, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, West Ham, Fulham, Leeds, next three.
Wolves, absolutely. Yeah. They're on the radar. So the St Max to Podence move could easily be a thing. Man City, yes, absolutely. Aubameyang to KDB looks like the move I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Now, that would mean a four-point hit. Am I then adverse to doing an eight-point hit? No, I don't think I am. I think I'm open to an eight-point hit.
So you're talking Aubameyang to KDB, St Max to Podence, let's say, for a minus four. Who would the minus eight be? Who's the next on the chopping block?
Well, Bissouma can be, but would take Dyer out.
Okay.
And maybe replace him with a Wolves defender. But I haven't started.
Dyer for Sice or something probably. Like that. Yeah, yeah.
So there's that option. Those are the kind of... It's them three... It's Dyer, Bissouma and St Max, really. And Aubameyang is going to 100% be KDB unless something major happens in tomorrow night's fixture.
Okay.
That makes me think otherwise. But I can't think that I'll go into game week three without KDB.
Those three transfers, you haven't got any Everton. So you're happy to kind of wait until maybe Brighton game week four for Everton. That's maybe a week after transfer.
I feel not that
we're forward planning too many transfers, but Everton going to Crystal Palace could wait.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's how I feel. I feel like, yes, I might miss a goal from Calvert-Lewin. Yes, I might miss a goal from Rodriguez, depending upon which way I went with it.
I think we've seen enough from Palace to know they ain't going to get trounced.
Exactly.
Palace, right?
So, yes, I might miss one goal from Rodriguez I might miss one goal from Calvert-Lewin, but I don't see them getting a hat for. I really don't. Palace have been really solid. So I feel like, yes, there are issues in my team, but suddenly those issues feel better today. I feel like, you know, I watched Brighton play. Had Bissouma not been sent off, I'd been more than happy to keep him for probably the next 10 weeks.
Yeah.
He played fine. Actually, he nearly got an assist today. And then he does stupid things and gets sent off at the end. This is just a moment of stupidity.
Talk to me about Bruno Fernandes. Is it somebody that you immediately think you want to get out, or you want to keep the faith with him?
You can't bring in a player like Bruno and then after 1 week go, I'm not happy, you're going again. It's not going to work like that. I think for me, Bruno will get one more week. We'll see where Manchester United are after their second game. Because in theory, if what we're saying before goes as read, then they should improve in game week two.
You know United's next game?
Yeah.
Brighton away.
Yeah.
Tough for United, you know that?
But it should get better. And then, they should build on the games that they have and they should improve in the way that we've seen Spurs do from game week one into game week two, in the way that we've seen other teams improve on the quality that they...
Man United Spurs in game week four could be quite pivotal, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Could be quite pivotal.
But I feel like with Bruno, you know... He can stay for a couple of weeks. He's not a problem that needs to be dealt with yet, anyway.
Okay.
If suddenly Donny takes his position every time, he's sitting back every game, then that's a problem because I can't have that much money spent on a player that's playing defensive midfield role.
Okay.
But if he's going to go back to playing how he was before, fine.
All right, so listen, 52 all out. It's not a bad game week score. If you'd have had Son and Kane, it'd been absolutely laughing, wouldn't you? Having both of those in from last week would have been amazing. Total points 107, overall rank 2.8 million for what it's worth. Let's see where we are in a few weeks. But again, it's a solid start. It's not a catastrophe. It's not amazing, but it's not a catastrophe. It's fine.
And it's still fine. I still look at them and think, yeah, I wouldn't have done anything differently at the start of the season. Okay. So we are
Who's your eyes on? I'm just seeing Alex Young in the chat saying game week three captain ? Anybody immediately in your side that's catching your eye for game week three captain?
Probably be Kane.
Kane, remind me of the Spurs game.
Newcastle at home.
Newcastle at home for Kane. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Newcastle without St Max, they didn't look that effective today. So. And I think they were flattered a little bit now. Having watched them in game week two, I think in game week one against West Ham, they were flattered a little bit by how bad West Ham were.
Okay. The only thing I would say to that, I think Azzy, by the way, didn't say hello at the beginning. How are you doing? He's saying, Spurs have got two fixtures before their next league game, which is
they have.
Something to consider. We've said before, and you guys will well know
which
this.
Macedonia.
They've got a trip to Macedonia next Thursday.
Yeah.
And actually on Tuesday, it's a League Cup game, isn't there? So there's a League Cup game. So
Harry Kane's sponsorship club.
Carabao Cup Tuesday, Macedonia Thursday, Newcastle at the weekend.
Yeah.
That's a lot of football.
We've not got to go to Newcastle.
It's still a lot of football, isn't it? A lot of football.
Have you seen Harry Kane? He's a machine and Gareth Bale's around now. So
all aboard the Gareth Bale, what, bus, train? But the Bale bus.
Whatever Bale wants to be in, I'm on.
Doesn't matter what boat,
a plane, a bus, a cab, Uber, I'm in it. I'm in it.
The Bale boat, the Bale bus, whatever it is, you are in it. Whatever it is, you're in it. Listen, guys, thank you for tuning in tonight. It's been, well, you've been on one tonight, frankly. We need to go and have a little lie down. You need to go and have a lie down, I think, a cup of tea.
I feel like I need a slice of brownie and a hot chocolate.
Wasn't even any taboo tonight. You've just come straight in, all high off of Spurs scoring 5 goals, which haven't, that's not happened since... So I don't know when. When was the last time Spurs scored 5 goals?
I've had quite an emotional weekend. The Bale thing really got me. I've actually welled up again just thinking about how Bale's come into the club.
Stop crying about Gareth Bale. Oh, my God.
Can I get a Spurs shirt with Bale on the back? I feel like I've...
I don't get choked up talking about Thiago. We've just signed the best midfielder in the world. I'm not getting choked up. You've got tears in your eyes talking about Bale. Oh, guys, this is what I have to live with, guys, honestly. You should have seen Sam when the Bale announcement video came out and all of the, like, nostalgic Bale goals from actually when he used to be half decent. Oh, God, just started weeping in the corner. It's pathetic. Guys, you can find us on all of your favourite social media.
I need places. A tissue now.
Stop being so emotional about Gareth Bale. What's wrong with you?
I need Bale on the back of my shirt. Don't know really.
You can find us on Twitter at FPL Family. You can find us on Instagram at FPL Family. Facebook, if you want to search for us
maybe
on there.
Maybe crying over there, though.
If you haven't got an hour and a half to watch one of our videos, I cannot blame you. There's no problem with that whatsoever. If you have, fantastic. If you're watching the replay, fantastic. But if you prefer to just listen to us as a podcast on either Spotify or Deezer or SoundCloud or Audio Boom, we're on Acast as well. You can go search for FPL Family on any of your favourite podcasting platforms and you will find us. What's going on this week in terms of shows? If you can control your emotions, what's going on in terms of shows and podcasts and stuff?
Bale's back.
It doesn't matter what FPL shows or podcasts we're on.
I don't know who we are back. We?
I actually think we've got a reasonably quiet week. I think we've got a few FF Scout articles. Well, you've got some FF Scout work and some articles to
There's
write.
There's going to be some Scout stuff coming out this week. There'll obviously be a Sam versus Lee on Thursday. That's the normal day now for Sam versus Lee. So you'll find that out on Thursday on the Scout YouTube channel. One of us might be on the pod, but we don't know yet.
last minute decision.
We'll let you know if one of us is on the pod. I doubt if they want me. I'll just cry about Gareth Bale.
Actually, James Richard just said, Sam, what do you think about Bale's return? I'm so happy. Bale's back.
I think we're on the FPL show the week after.
FPL show the week after. Listen, guys.
We're bad plays.
Thank you very much for joining us. Well done in game week two. Some cracking scores knocking about. I remember saying on the Ohana for the patrons on Friday that because Aubameyang was going to be so highly captained, I didn't expect the spectrum of scores to be that big this week. But actually, given the frantic nature of this game week and the fact that we've had some absolutely ridiculous scores and a lot of the big hitters doing pretty well...
39 goals.
I think so many goals. There has been quite a high spectrum of scores. So if you're in the 50s, the 60s, or even if you're in the 70s, absolutely fantastic score for game week two. So
just
listen, it's early days, but keep going. Don't panic, wildcarders.
Particularly with the League Cup games, just if you're just making transfers, try if you can and hold it.
If you've already hit the wildcard button,
well, if you're on a wildcard, do what the hell you like. But if you're just making transfers, try and hold it until they're played in the League Cup because, oh my goodness, if you get an injury after that and you've got to deal with, it's a problem.
Don't do that. There we go, guys. Leave us a like before you go. If you're new around here, hit that subscribe button. We've had loads of new subscribers lately. So if you've hit the subscribe button recently and the little notification bell, thank you very much. We're up to nearly 13,500 subscribers. It doesn't feel that long ago, Sam, that we were just announcing the 10K. So we're up to 13,000. Guys, if you're new around here, if you've not subscribed to FPL Family, we'd love you to hit that little red button before you go. And of course, leave us a like. Until this time, next week, Sunday at 8:30, we'll see you soon.
Bye, guys.